A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about throuples and the psychology behind polyamory. And at the end of the pod, our What'd You Learn This Weeks are about studying flowers as well as a little more about microplastics in your body. Classic.
Oof.
But actually some good news for once.
Wait, really? Because I've just been like using I've lost 48 water bottles that I've bought, which is like so
lost bad. 48 water
I
bottles?
I buy like, you know, like hashtag white culture, like a Nalgene, and then I just like leave it at like a gym. And then I go to that gym and then I see
that's
the Nalgene in like someone else's hand and I'm like, they definitely just took it and washed it. And that's
well, probably because you left it there like 4 months ago. They were probably just like, well, this is a free water bottle.
That's what I mean. I'm doing charity at all times across Toronto, just leaving my Nalgenes for whoever needs them. And so I've been using a plastic water bottle, just like filling it up with water so that I don't throw it out. And I'm like, that's microplastic energy.
Oh, yeah. I can't say with certainty. Well, we're going to get to this when we get to my wedding.
Okay, slap.
Tomorrow, a day after this pod comes out, is Pi Day.
Mitch's favorite day of the year. Mine is his birthday.
I was about to be like, actually my birthday.
Yeah.
But it's 3.14, March 14th. And big surprise, released a new Pi video. So if you want to see the Pi song 2.0 and learn 200 digits of Pi, because I know you're all clamoring for that, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ASAPScience.
Whoa, that was like a full plug.
Yeah, people would pay money for that. So,
well, it's getting a lot of streams. Like, also, you mentioned at the end of the video you might do 300 digits of pie. You should do this forever.
Yeah, I kind of thought if this does well and people like want the, you never know if people want the sequel, but if people enjoy the sequel, then I'm like, okay, we're going to bankroll the pie song for the rest of our lives.
Well, the pie song OG has like millions of streams. It's like Ariana Grande in the house.
Yeah, and on YouTube it has like 30 million views. I'm like, that's more than like some pop stars songs.
Yeah, no offense, Bloody Mary by Lady Gaga.
I'm sure that has more.
Well, it doesn't have a video, which is a huge mistake, and we will be getting into the science, but I have a Bloody Mary music video in my head that is immaculate, and it's too bad Lady Gaga's team doesn't know I exist. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, she had some good arrows and some bad ones too.
Yeah, and right now she's in her
She's working on a new one, right? LG6?
That's been since like 1992 that she said that. The issue right now with Lady Gaga is it's like she's looking like a Kardashian and she's doing weird influencer events about like medicine. It's giving like, did someone it's like the, honestly, the science of skincare was what her influencer thing was about. Like if we were ever going to get invited to one of her events, it's already passed. She's coming for our gig.
I still love her. Forever millennial Lady Gaga stan.
Yeah. Me too. I do still love her. I almost got a tattoo of her. Thank God I didn't, is all I have to say. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
So we are here today to talk about thruples,
also known as triads.
Oh, and also the psychology and science behind polyamory.
And like, this is a growing trend in relationships. Three people in a committed relationship is called a thruple. And so we're going to talk about the psychological and scientific research around how it works, whether it's good or bad, laws,
how society sees it even. I have a lot of studies on like what, how that view from society impacts people. And then
we're both screaming. So excited. And we're going to be talking about hunter-gatherers for sure. Let me tell you that.
I was going to say also just some actual facts and stats that the newer research has found when comparing monogamous relationships to, in particular, consensually non-monogamous relationships.
Okay, so
I wanted to start with a little disclaimer.
Wow, we're actually like screaming. Okay, go. Yeah.
And that is, I know like these topics can be sensitive. You know, I like to have little disclaimers. It's all love here. Like we're.
Oh, but I also sometimes am like, no, like if people need to understand that I am joking, and I feel people do, I feel like people do get that I joke, and I'm like, and I'm, yeah, I might drag thruples through hell.
Sure, but all
I'm kidding.
No, we're actually
I'm
not
kidding. I'm already kidding. And just like, no, I'm just saying, like, I know you mean about a disclaimer, but I hope people get the sentiment of our podcast being like,
yeah, you know. Fun. And all I'll say is like, we are queer and have lots of friends who are in different forms of relationships. We have hetero friends even who are in straight relationships. We've known people in thruples. We've known people in quadruples.
Wait, so you're like so worried that what? We're going to drag the hell out of thruples?
No, I'm not actually.
What's your disclaimer?
The disclaimer is just like everything we're saying is out of just interest. And if we did happen to say something that somebody found offensive, or if our research isn't as, like, I think we've done some like good research, but if it's not as like, what would you say? Like big or as.
Cause if there's anyone who's going to come for us, it's the polyamory community. Let me tell you that there's a lot of different words.
And this is based off of one comment we got, but when we did something
I'm actually canceled.
No, when we did something on fetishes, somebody who was like well-meaning and just wanting to educate us. Like I was like, oh, did we say something
and
wrong?
And we did.
No, I don't know. I just, it's obviously a topic that lots of people can
be passionate. Wait, you said someone said something.
So someone sent us an email and that said, was like, it found this podcast a little problematic. Here's why.
What was the reason?
You should have brought, well, I don't remember now. And they were very kind. And it was just like, maybe you should have brought an expert on to talk, or someone who like knows or has a specific fetishes. Anyway.
A polyamory expert. Now that is a funny LinkedIn.
Okay, here we are. We're getting into it now. I'm sorry for the big disclaimer.
Yeah.
I want to start with polygamy is not polyamory as well. And I just want to clarify, we're mostly in my research is on polyamory, which is when both partners in a relationship or multiple people can all also have other relationships, whether sexual, intimate, romantic.
Wait, all my research from Salt Lake City is full polygamy.
Well, polygamy is when typically when like the man has many wives.
No, I was joking. Oh, okay. I know that. We're not talking about that, but like, I guess maybe we could do another episode on that. But
okay,
I feel like you're talking a lot more about polyamory and I'm talking more about thruples.
You start at thruples. Some of my research touches on both. Okay. So yeah.
So thruples.
You're being very
combative.
Yeah.
Combative. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're on a Joe Rogan podcast. All of a sudden things are going to go down.
Stop saying that name.
So a thruple, not to be mistaken for an open relationship, is when three people, and not to be mistaken for a threesome, is a balanced, consensual, committed relationship between three people. Hmm. So polyamory goes, like, you could be in a thruple and not be polyamorous outside of that, in the sense that you are a close thruple.
It would be a committed group of three people who are, like, presumably equally romantically involved and sexually involved with both.
And they could
partners.
Be close. Like they, but I want to go through some other polyamory terms because they're amazing.
Okay.
So there's a quad. Which you can guess is four people.
A part of your leg.
Four people in a committed relationship with each other. So it just like keeps going. I guess there could be like a cinco and there could be five of them. I don't know.
A cinco.
But actually, no. Then you get to a polycule, which is a network of individuals who are all in relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of like funny jokes on comedy podcasts about like Brooklyn polycules. And I've always been like, what are they talking about? Now I get it. Kitchen table polyamory is a network of individuals who are in relationships with each other. If someone new is brought into this dynamic, they have to be like generally good enough to get along with the rest of the group in a theory to feel comfortable sitting together at a large kitchen table. So it's like kitchen table polyamory. Like you could have this like big group of people and then someone could come in and everyone would be like, awkward. That Greg guy is really problematic and he's saying weird things about fetishes and polyamory. I can't talk to him at a large kitchen table, not in the polycule.
Okay.
Parallel polyamory is when a polyamorous person has multiple partners who don't really interact with each other.
Okay.
I thought was interesting.
Like,
as opposed to the kitchen sink where they all come together
all
and chat.
Like communal together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like kind of fun. And then
kind of fun.
Polyfidelity, when a throuple quad or larger polycule is closed and don't see people outside of that group.
Oh, fidelity, meaning
polyfidelity.
So you could have like five people, but you're like, we actually aren't open beyond this.
So this is why I meant like there'd be a lot of like adjectives and stuff. It's like, so you'd be like, I'm in a quad polycule and we're polyfidelity. I can't even do it.
What is
it? Like we're poly and we experience polyfidelity in the sense that we are closed.
Yeah.
And then a whopping 30% of adults in North America have experienced a threesome. So this is like kind of separate.
Yeah.
At least once.
Did you know, in another sense, it says more than 1/5 of Americans and Canadians have had a consensual non-monogamous relationship.
Absolute so slay.
Yeah. And right now, 1 in 20 people are in a consensual non-monogamous relationship.
Whoa.
That's way more than I thought.
That's why everyone I meet's polyamorous.
Well, it's actually much higher in the queer community.
Oh my God.
There's a lot more acceptance.
In the queer community, it's got to be like,
it's like 90%. The norm.
Whenever I meet a gay guy in a closed relationship, I'm like, okay, Mormon. I shouldn't. Actually, that's a bad joke. It's like, okay, Catholic.
I was going to say something and I forgot.
And we're done. That was a great episode.
What have you just been talking about?
The threesome, 30% of people, 30% of Americans. Have
it'll come
threesome.
Back to me. It'll come back to me. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, you can continue.
Okay. Well, in 2014, this was an interesting version of research I found in a study that was a bit like, yeah, slay to anyone who questions throuples. But a 2014 Pew Research report found that fewer than half of American children live with two parents on their first marriage.
Fewer than half.
Which is
children.
A traditional family environment because so many people are divorced and remarried, and it creates family structures that involve three or more parents, and that a throuple is not that off. And it
was for like a kid to be like, well, I have three parents.
Yeah, like the way they were like trying to do studies about throuples, they realized almost in a backwards way, they were like, wow, there's so many throuples. They're like, no, it's just divorced parents and kids being like, I have four parents.
Yeah.
Or like three parents, a single person, and it's like, oh, that's not a throuple. A throuple, they're all... You know,
engaged with each other.
Sleeping
as
in
a
one bed, maybe.
I just remembered what I wanted to say. We have to be honest about something, or rather, Greg, you have to be honest about something. And
what?
That is what inspired this episode was Greg's hooked on a little show called Couple to Throuple.
I was like, I really think a lot of people would think that you were going to say that we're in a throuple.
We could be. Is anyone out
I want to be in a throuple. I always think like our house would be cleaner. There's three people to clean the house.
Yes, but I also think the dynamic, we can talk more about it later, but I think the dynamic become, the more people you add, I think you got to be really committed to making that dynamic work.
Okay, so to go to Couple to Throuple, which is a show on MTV that is absolute garbage.
And yet, every day he's like, oh my God, the gay couple on Couple to Throuple.
Okay, it's one of those shows, like, I don't know if people who are millennials watch Temptation Island. Actually, no, people watch so much reality TV, I just don't. It's so trashy, it's so sexual that it's like kind of just like softcore porn that I'm like addicted to it. Okay, relax. I also fast forward so many of the couples to the throuples because they're so boring. And the gay guys are such a mess that they're fun to watch. But interestingly, this goes to a bit of my research on Couple to Throuple. The reason I find the show frustrating, they've added some more queer people now, is it so often is... This is the research. Researchers surveyed 276 heterosexual adults in North America about threesomes versus throuples.
Okay.
So when it comes to the idea of a throuple, a lot of it is really like tied up into this idea of a threesome that comes from media stereotypes, which is usually one cis hetero man and two hetero flexible women who are all attractive, all white. And it's more about the women performing sort of like sexual
acts. All white
acts.
A part of it?
Part of people saying that like the idea of a throuple to a lot of mainstream people is just like a almost like sexy kind of like young, like white thing.
Oh, okay.
That was part of the research. They said that. They're like people picture cisgendered And like, it's kind of like, oh, that's not what we picture because we're queer. I think we're picturing like all these like polycules and stuff. But in general, yeah. when people think of a throuple, the mainstream media, they're picturing a guy and two girls. And okay. that is exactly what the show is doing. It's all these couples of a guy and a girl, and they're always choosing a girl as the third. And yeah. it's really like, okay, you're keeping this negative stereotype that is alive here.
Yeah, it's weird that there's not. Is there any that are two men and one woman?
Literally, they like on the threw show? A queer people in near the end. I honestly think that probably the producers were like, we're gonna get dragged, and they like showed up on the 8th episode and we're like, hi. And they just like
that. So it was two guys one. And a girl.
Yeah, but it happened near the end. And okay, so this is the other thing about threesomes versus throuples. It was found that when there were threesomes that happened with one man and two women, the men were always, when surveyed, more sexually satisfied, would orgasm, and the women were feeling as if they were focusing on the man. Mm. In throuples, there was different research results, which found that the women actually reported being more sexually satisfied. The women had equal interest in the man and the woman, and the men found that the sex of the two women was not as satisfying.
Let me see if I'm hearing you right. So the difference being, if a couple just wanted to have a threesome, which is like a one-off,
it's very for the man, whereas according to research,
when it comes to an actual throuple, which would be more of a relationship,
yes, the men struggle a bit more and the women okay. are feeling more equal. So it's sort of just making you realize there's a big difference between cis hetero people experimenting with threesomes and the concept of a throuple. And this psychological research explains that throuples are in many ways better for women.
And if it's a one man compared to the men in that throuple.
Yeah. Just
feeling less satisfied.
Yeah. And they call them FMF throuples.
I'm curious, and this may not be in your research, I'm curious if that would be different if there was two men and a woman.
Okay, that is in my research. So because the media often portrays, it says here, three cisgender, able-bodied, conventionally attractive people who are often white, and it's usually one man and two bisexual, heteroflexible women, mm-hmm. that is what we think about. But in the research, they found that when it is when it is throuples with two men and one woman, that's when there's the most satisfaction and it like the relationships last the longest.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes sometimes the men aren't even having sex with each other.
Wow.
Okay. And then
is interesting, but it also means to me, because of the stigma for especially men, like there's a different kind of view of like women in a threesome. I think a man who's comfortable being with like a straight man who's comfortable being with another man and a woman means you're like super comfortable yeah. with yourself and probably not as annoying and like toxic. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be
like,
it's a sign that you can handle that.
We're okay to have a relationship because I can be okay with like, even if I'm hooking up with two people, still being mostly interested yeah. in the woman, but not feeling like it diminishes my masculinity or something weird like that because there's a man here.
So they also were saying this is very Gen X and like older millennial kind of almost baby boop. Like older people are kind of thinking about it like this because
Thinking about it like...
with gender involved at all. They were saying that like Gen Z and millennials are like, a lot of the throuples involve people who also don't really like think about gender in the same way.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
it creates these like much more queer and open and like...
Yeah, it's literally just like about the person.
Three people.
Yeah, it's like I actually connect with that person and that person regardless of their gender. That is so much more interesting.
And then last thing I'll say, and then we'll get into your stuff because I thought this was juicy. So in the polyamorous community, there's a term known as unicorn hunting, which is established when it's a female-male couple. So picture this kind of what I just said. Female-male like couple seeking out a third in their duo.
They're the unicorn?
The unicorn hunters. So they're hunting for like a unicorn, I guess.
They're a couple looking for a third.
They're always mostly looking for a bisexual, heteroflexible woman. Again, right. because the man is like not going to be as comfortable because like men need so much more therapy. And they usually are choosing women who don't have partners, children, or serious connections to interfere with their sort of like fantasy. And they will sometimes impose something called the one penis policy, in which the women are allowed to have sex with each other and their man, but the man isn't like, they can't have sex with other men.
Oh, what?
Like they're more just trying to describe that like a lot of people will throw around the word throuple.
Yeah.
But really when you get down into it, it's like this still very hetero straight cis thing where it's
It still feels super controlled. It's not necessarily a polyamorous relationship.
Exactly. Okay. So they were just saying that like when they're trying to do this research on throuples, they're realizing there's a lot of older Gen X millennial like couples who are trying to find a third, who's always a woman,
yeah,
who's bisexual, who doesn't have any hangups, and they're kind of like, is this what we're trying to research or not? And they're trying to be like, it's not. We're more interested in like more consensual three people.
Yeah, man, that's woman. Interesting because even from looking online, there's a lot of, maybe not a lot of discourse, but like there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily defined. Like what, it, like obviously I gave a definition of polygamy versus polyamory, but there is also like consensual non-monogamous, not non-consensual, consensual non-monogamous relationships. Like there's ethical non-monogamous relationships. Like there's different terms that can describe what we're trying to say. And I think even sometimes studies and even people in these communities might define these terms differently. And that can be a challenge.
So it is so like, it is, I'm feeling like such a boomer being like, all these terms.
No, I don't think, I think like, that's cool. I think terms help. Me, I find terms really useful.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to define yourself and communicate through terms what you're looking for. But
so if you're in an open sexual relationship, that's what I've been calling it, but it actually is ethical non-monogamy.
That's one way to describe it, yeah. Okay. But that can actually be considered different than polyamory, in which you're actually
dating,
like you say, as a group, all okay dating other people.
Polycule.
Yeah, and perhaps in some definitions, like you said, it might be exclusive amongst a certain number of people. In others, you might have a core, but maybe you're also allowed to have other kinds of relationships outside that.
Okay, so like all multitudes. The gay guys in the world that I know, every gay guy, is in many ways non-monogamous, ethically non-monogamous, but only some of them are polyamorous when it's like, oh, they're dating.
I would say others. On the top of my head, the sort of like gay couples I can think of mostly have a primary partner, but then are open primary to sexual partner, encounters yeah. outside of that, making yeah. it an open relationship, but yeah. not necessarily a polyamorous relationship.
Gotcha.
So I want to talk about more polyamory. Something I found interesting, thinking about like this becoming a topic that's been talked about, I'm going to go through the decades and tell you how many studies there were. And we're going to see the boom that's happening right now.
Let go. Thruples are in, y'all.
So in the 70s, there were only 10 studies looking into polyamory.
Boo. And that's surprising because...
Yeah, well, 70s were also like
free love.
After the 60s.
Yeah.
Then the 80s, 3. Even more boo.
Yeah, no, the 80s are so repressed.
Then the 90s, 0.
Okay, the 90s is full Clinton, oil, nuclear. They're just like, family.
We're not even going to acknowledge this.
Yeah.
The aughts, if that's how you say it, 12.
That's like the emo. It's because there's emo people yeah, all of a like, sudden.
We're polyamorous.
And they're like, oh my God, My Chemical Romance is so polyamory.
The 10s, 2010s, 94.
That's surprising.
So we're getting a boom.
It was a pretty like boring
and then
time.
This meta-analysis I found went from 2000 to 2023, 90 studies like in that three-year yeah. period.
People
so obviously, yeah. and from Google Trends and stuff, you can search like the terms around polyamory, consensual non-monogamy. These kind of things have like skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Even in comparison to the word threesome and things like that, it's polyamory that people are more and more interested relative to every other search term.
So like, should this episode be called like polyamory? Or
I think it can be both. Or like,
because
like,
people are interested in so like thruples is more narrow. People are interested in polyamory, but thruples are just like a funny thing that we're seeing more because it's the most visual. It's like, oh, there's three of them. Slay.
Oh, you can call it whatever we want.
Yeah,
it's about both. I think thruples are a form of polyamory.
Okay, so what? So should we go into a thruple? Okay, the thing about couple to thruple that's really funny.
You're asking me this on Sign Up Podcast.
Yes.
Like, are you proposing to me?
Well,
you
bring I always have been
someone
saying...
Someone sits down, we pull up a third
honestly,
chair.
Honestly, I have always been saying that we should be in a thruple, but it is rude, and it's just because I want my house clean.
Yeah, you can't just
and that's
like have
fully
someone,
awful.
Like, you can't say that.
Yeah, that's like actually awful. Like, if the person never heard me say that, they'd be like, I don't want to be in
a
thruple
like
with
an
you.
Insane thing to
yeah,
say
no,
out
I,
loud in
I
public.
I know, and I'm literally like, I want them to cook. Like, it's bad.
Well, yeah, neither of us are, like, great homekeepers.
We're not homekeepers, and we're gay. It's like, we have the worst gay traits. Like, I just want a gay guy with the traits that, like I want them to, like, I've never, like, washed a pillowcase. Like,
okay, well, I have.
That is such a lie, Mitch. Do not.
You think I've never washed a pillowcase?
When's the last time you washed a pillowcase? Because I actually did it recently because I did think to myself, wow, we have never. When's the last time?
My pillowcases? I washed.
Not the bed ones, the gay ones on the couch that are for decoration, is what I mean. Okay. That's what I meant by gay guy. Sorry, I meant. Sorry, we do wash our pillowcases. We sleep
I was
on.
Like, that's crazy.
That's disgusting. That is very straight energy. I'm saying, like, the gay pillows, the ones that are like.
Like ornamental pillows.
Exactly. I want to be in a thruple so that a gay guy will be aware of the ornamental pillows.
You're right. You're right about this. And the only time I've ever washed them is when I actually spill something on them, then I'll throw it into my laundry. But
yeah.
Otherwise, I'm
no,
like,
that's, I mean, I mean, like, I want those. A gay guy who buys candles. Like, I want my house to be like.
Well, if you're listening or watching and you buy candles and wash pillowcases and maybe make dinner every now and then, you could be eligible to join our thruple.
Because our relationship has gone in and out of monogamy, which I think is super cool and fun. But the actual idea of like thruple and stuff, we've never really actually explored.
Yeah, because I think... But it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's not something you can just do on a whim. I mean, maybe it's different if you're single because it's fun to, like, you can be dating multiple people at one time. But, like, we're in a 17-year relationship.
So it's unfair.
Well, no, I don't. Oh. I wasn't going to say that. I mean, maybe it's
it
unfair.
Is if they show up and I'm like, okay, can you clean and wash our pillows?
And I just mean, like, we know what it takes to make a single person relationship work.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine, like, if you're going to bring somebody else in as a thruple, how much work you need to dedicate to, like, and the kinds of dynamics.
Oh, my God, to, like, make them, like, comfortable?
Make them comfortable and make it work and make it healthy is all I mean.
Yeah.
So think about, like, the kinds of, like, therapy and communication we've had to learn to do just to accommodate our differences. If, like, think about just the math of it.
Yeah.
If you add in another variable, it's exponential, right? Yeah. So then that's why I think even, like, a quad, it's amazing that people can do it. This is, like, definitely no shade. It just is, like, most of, like, and also we run a business together. That's a relationship on its own. So, you know. Now we have a bit more time. Maybe we can afford
the time. We have a lot
time.
More time now. So if you want to be in a thruple with us,
send us a voice note.
And I'm so sorry. I won't make you just look after us.
ASAPScience.com/chat. Yeah.
But like.
Pitch yourself. We'll put it in comment corner.
I do think it's interesting because in Couple to Thruple, this epic Emmy-nominated show that truly is, like, please, no one watch it. The single people always have a really they seem actually more well adjusted, and they have this interesting way of being like I'm looking for a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, I didn't believe them, but then I was like, that's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, they seem young and they're just like, and they're really like aware that they're going into the couple.
Like another couple.
And they're like, some of them are like, you guys are not ready. The gay guys are not ready. The gay guys are a mess. And the cute actually, it's like, whoever that guy is, like, reach out.
The one who, like,
the one
joins
who's single,
them.
I'm, like, such a crush on. But he's, like, because he's cool. He's literally, like, hey, you guys aren't ready. Peace. Whereas, like, I do feel like you could be a single person, go into a couple, and start to be, like, oh, they're ready, and it's working. And you could see how it could, like, work.
Mm-hmm. But also remember, lots of thruples start not from a couple adding. Right?
Wait, like, three people meet at a bar?
Yeah, or okay, maybe they, like, individually have interesting relationships and decide to, like, do it together. And
They said a lot of thruples are, like, a polycule breaking off as if it's, like, a microorganism and, like, a protein, like, sort of, like...
That's like how they described
off.
It?
No, yeah, they said that, like...
this your interpretation?
No, it said a lot of polycules can end up as thruples because you're kind of in this, like, large fun dating all these people, and then you're, like, actually slay to these three.
Yeah, this is, like, giving survivor alliances. It's, like, every big alliance has a core alliance, and everyone's got their version of where they're, like, well, you know, it's, like, us at the core of this, and then everyone else is... But everyone's got a different version of that. You got to make sure, like, someone who you think's in your core doesn't think they're the core.
Okay, you'd be really good at a thruple because of, like, Big Brother and Survivor.
No, but that feels like a not a healthy way to look at relationships.
Actually, okay, this one research is cross-eyed and follower. One part about psychological research of thruples found that there's a thing that can happen called triangulation, And this is a sign of an issue where one person, because of tension between one other, starts to confide in the other and talk, quote unquote, shit about the third. Mm. And they were like, whenever triangulation happens, that's when you need to like
a risky
sit
time.
Down the three of you, go to therapy. And I was like, whoa, that is.
That makes sense. Because instead of it now being a friend you're ranting to, it's someone in the relationship, which obviously has so much more weight.
I mean, you can't do that in a double.
Yeah, you either use a therapist or a friend.
Exactly. And then
they have no stake in it.
There's no stake.
But if you're in a throuple or even a quad, if you're like communicating about another person, it's like that can change the power dynamic.
Throuples, you got to look out for your triangulation.
Okay, I'm going to go into a little bit of my research on more broadly polyamory. I want to say, I found an amazing meta-analysis. You know, when you just like are doing meta research
and then
hit the gold mine. I don't know if on YouTube I link out my studies. I don't know if you do it on the pod, like our sources and stuff.
Yeah, we do.
It's so big because I'm only going to go over some of the things because it was just like, it was looking at like 200 and something studies and breaking them down by categories of their findings. So I'm going to talk a little bit about like the relationship aspect of them, but there was stuff about like the general studies on the perception of polyamory and stuff like that. And there were studies on like the sexual outcomes of these couples and stuff like that. So I just thought I'd spit out some of these facts that I found interesting if you're down with that.
Imagine I said no.
Well, the way you're looking at me is I was like,
no, Mitch.
Are you here?
We have a separate episode about knowing yourself. Tell me the information.
Okay. Compared to monogamous relationships, people in consensual non-monogamous relationships are either as satisfied or more satisfied with their relationships.
Yeah, slay.
They are as committed or more committed to their relationships.
Wow. Than,
this is all compared to just people in monogamous relationships.
Wow.
They're more satisfied with the nature of communication and openness in their relationships.
That makes sense because you kind of are like forced to communicate or else you got triangulation and things fall apart.
Polyamorous people and those in open relationships report less jealousy and greater feelings of compersion. Never heard this word before, which it just means the feelings of joy for their partner's happiness with other partners.
Compersion. Okay, everyone stop what you're doing and make a notes app. Compersion. The feeling of happiness of your partner being with someone else.
Like the joy they get, you receiving joy from them getting that joy from
someone
else.
And it could be friend, it could be sex, it could be.
This was the definition the study gave. I wonder if that word's applicable to like if I were to watch you have fun with a friend.
Like you, compersion? It's like, oh my God, you're playing Fortnite with our other friend. I'm like, oh my God, I'm experiencing so much compersion as you shoot them and laugh. Or is it like we're ethically non-monogamous and like you're getting a blowjob from someone and I'm compersioning the Boots house down? Like, where's this compersion?
I'm feeling compersion right now.
It's such a good word because it's like compression, but not. And everyone would be like, I think you mean something. And we know it's compersion. Look it up.
Okay. Looking at a sample of people over the age of 55, those who were non-monogamous reported being significantly happier than the same population of adults who were monogamous. Even compared to those who did swinging was like the thing.
Okay, yeah. So, wow.
Swinging
this
is,
could be endless.
That's a never
podcast.
Term. Like swinging is like swinging? Another. It's like if we were to just want to have sex. I think it is like
actually,
threesomes.
Swinging is maybe.
But I don't know the full definition, but.
Swinging is maybe more what they were saying with those like look out for the unicorn hunters.
Yeah, like
swinging is exactly. Unicorn hunter.
You're like as a couple deciding, let's have sexual experiences with others. It could be one, it could be two, but it's
that's
less
fun.
About like your love. Now, something interesting. There's something called hierarchical partnerships. So this means having a primary partner who is like your main partner over your kind of
number
other
one.
Ones.
Okay, wait. Say, so primary part. You have a primary partner.
Like there's forms of polyamory where you might be like, here's the person that's like my main partner.
We're in a throuple, but like you're the third.
Yeah, or like we're in a quad, but like two of us are here and two of us are there, and like we all kind of interact separate. People in non-hierarchical partnerships had greater satisfaction than those in hierarchical. So it's like better to have the love shared evenly in terms of relationship satisfaction than to like have little groups inside. Is kind of what it was.
Yeah. So like when that polycule is sitting down at their kitchen table polyamory meeting, it's like y'all better all be enjoying
better
the
be
hors d'oeuvres
absolutely
the same.
Equal.
Yeah, because you know if you're like in the main a bit more.
Perhaps it's different with the depending on the number of people. The only other facts I wanted to go over were some of the perception. There's lots of studies not only on the impact of perception, like on people in polyamorous relationships, which is generally negative, and that impacts, much like it does for other marginalized groups, people who are polyamorous feel the judgment of society on them. Often, if they don't, it's because they're not telling a lot of people that they're in like open or polyamorous relationships. People view polyamorous people as more promiscuous, immoral, perverted, untrustworthy, to that they would have higher rates of STIs. Like, these are all predictable.
Yeah.
I wanted to put these after because we just talked about all the positive things where it's like, we know that's not true. We know they're having satisfying, in fact,
good
higher
relationships,
rates of satisfaction.
But they're having to deal with
this
like,
is the
oppression.
Perception of the more general population.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like I actually think I'm like fully like a Christian, like right wing person when I think about it, because like my instinct was to make fun of a polycule in Brooklyn.
Exactly. But here we now know that many of those people are more satisfied than monogamous people.
Yeah.
But the perception remains that people look at those relationships as more likely to fail, being unsustainable, less satisfactory, less romantic, less efficacious.
The studies show the opposite, folks.
The studies did show that the queer populations are much more accepting than heterosexuals.
Like, are all in open relationships. And cisgender gay men are all in polycules.
If you score higher on openness to experience, you're... and have less restrictive social sexual orientation, mm-hmm. like you're not as sexually repressed, you're more likely to be happy and okay with open
is
relationships.
Water wet.
And then let's see, I have one more. Oh yeah, most people in the general public reduce polyamory to just sex, but the majority of polyamorous people actually don't see sex as the main thing.
Gotcha.
It was like they actually see it as a way to be intimate. They emphasize interpersonal feelings
and they love compersion. They compersion all day, every day. And if you don't know what compersion is, you need to go back in this podcast and learn.
About 10 minutes ago, we ranted.
I'd say like four or five.
All of this led to, I've told you the stats, but it all required clear, ongoing communication, consent, respect, flexibility, and prioritizing emotional work. So if you are interested in whether it's a thruple or polyamory, know that it takes work. If you want to have that satisfaction of these
relationships. So maybe that's why we're not in a thruple, because we're always like, we're so busy.
Lazy.
Yeah, that's the better word. It's like not busy, actually. It's lazy for sure. No, it's true. It's like, I just like picture us like sitting down at like a table at like a bar with like the third, and it's just like, oh God, we got to chat about like, although that could be fun. Like, and then now that I think about it, I'm like, kombucha girl, like, oh, actually, like, it's like, at least we use an app to bring up new conversations for ourselves.
Exactly. I think in the right world, that person wouldn't be an, ugh, this is a chore.
True.
It would be a, oh, I'm actually really excited and I'm so comfortable around them that I don't feel like I have to turn it on always, right? Like, but I guess
It's Bad Bunny.
Okay. So, if little person named Bad Bunny happens to be
Benito
listening
from Puerto Rico and is wondering after Kylie,
Kendall Jenner, he's interested in two gay guys from Toronto. We might be open to that.
Get him to send us a voice note on side note. Imagine you woke up one day and there was a voice note from Benito.
I'd throw up. I'd shit myself. I'd flip a table and I'd probably ruin whatever software was involved and I'd never even
do you it. Think you'd be able to respond ever?
No.
Would you just be like, I can't even address this?
Wait. What? I'm like, actually, my brain's going crazy. If Benito, he was like, I listened to like, sign. I would like run into the nearest lake and maybe drown myself, actually. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be able to respond.
And you just leave it forever.
I would just be like,
okay, so maybe Benito, I know you're about to click record. Don't send it.
Actually,
I don't.
Benito, don't.
This is my primary partner and I don't want them to drown
myself. I will just go to the nearest lake and drown myself. Okay, so now there's a book called Sex at Dawn, which is all about kind of how we have, like, through Christianity and agriculture, that's always the issue when it comes to, like, modern science, created this, like, nuclear family concept that was never the case. Because prior to agriculture, we were in these very, you know, open, large, nomadic groups going around, sharing the wealth, sharing the food, and apparently sharing the sex, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And they talk about this thing called the Flintstonization of human prehistory, that like people will, it's like kind of funny, but like picture the Flintstones, like people don't really have the capacity to think outside of just what? Like, oh, it was probably like a man defending his pregnant wife while they like, and like even the Flintstones, I'm like, yeah, that is so funny. They're like, prehistoric, but they like go to work with a briefcase, like,
and just they're that, like in marriages,
yeah, exactly, like just that, like people have like a hard time understanding that this idea of like polyamory is not this crazy thing that the crazy thing is the nuclear family,
yeah, and even marriages, if you go back not that long ago, like the idea of a love marriage even still today in some cultures is not the norm. Like a love marriage is actually very unique, and originally marriages, as far as I understand, I'm not a historian, were like literally alliances to connect. It was like a way to connect families and make a subunit of a community that's smaller than like a town, or like smaller than the group, to have like subgroups within that.
Yeah,
the
families, and they combined. They blame agriculture, which like is always fun, like a fun culprit for all of our issues. But it's like, yeah, like agriculture happened, picket fences were built, and like the, you know, even capitalism, it all created this like sort of idea, which I find interesting, because when I do picture the polycule in Brooklyn, like I do picture people being like anti-capitalism. Like there's something about it that I am like, oh yeah, I do want to be polyamorous.
Well, there's something very nice about like, I have a desire to join like a commune. I don't know if I need to be in love with everyone, but although that would be nice.
Yeah. You also want to be in a cult.
Well, okay.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Okay.
But
I think you could be in a polycule.
You're being the people who perceive polyamory.
No, I know. I know I am. I think communes
can be very beautiful. It's all about helping each other and sharing resources and not needing to lock yourself up in one nuclear family and think that you can do everything.
Like,
we
Christian.
Are literally isolated and separated and destroyed as a society. And I think communes are a really nice way to bring us back to taking care of others.
But sometimes communes always end up as cults.
Sometimes always.
We did an episode on cults. Okay, we'll go back to that. Okay, no, I know. Actually, I'm
let's
the problem.
Do an episode
Christian
on communes, because I don't know enough. I'm sure there's lots of really beautiful communes. Remember, what did we watch?
I'm just scared about you learning more and then just like never seeing you again.
If I could make one, I would. I could make
I
one.
I see that for you in the future. I love how you're like slowly getting to what I've always thought you would
I don't
do.
Want it to be weird though. I don't want to be like the leader. I just want
to
like...
It doesn't have to be weird.
Like especially if and when we have kids, I'm like, it would be so
co-op.
Nice.
Co-op. Do a Brooklyn co-op.
That's all.
Sorry to Brooklyn. Like I know I alienate everyone, but now I'm alienating Brooklyn. But I am a really horrible Christian person who is really... I get what you're saying. I am like talking about polycules and polyamory as this like kind of like... thing.
Like, yeah,
I don't even want to continue with the adjectives I would use, because it's just like canceled all the way to hell. But I do think it's rad, and obviously I'm also anti-capitalist and like,
yeah, it's super progressive to be able to also overcome the structures of society and be able to like, sometimes when like as a queer person who's very surrounded by this, when I look at some straight people, I can see how chained they are by these structures that make them very sad and unhappy. Yeah. And I then can see a lot of queer friends who are like liberated from the expectations of society, because they're able to say like, I don't have to fit in that box. And actually I can find out what makes me happy and makes the people around me happy. I think we're all in a lot of those chains that we can't see, like us included.
Yeah.
And I think many people are trying to explore those chains and finding keys to unshackle themselves from the expectations of society.
And that's why they end up being these goddamn unicorn hunters. It's like, don't unicorn hunt. Be an equal threesome. And if you are a hetero cisgendered couple who's straight, you better be looking for an extra man. Looking for an extra woman, that's a red flag.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah, red flag.
But I will say that I like am absolutely like...
I'd love to hear anyone who's in a polyamorous or throuple or anything message in about their experience.
Yes.
Send a voice note. And also, I'd love to do an episode on communes. And if you're somebody who has experiences in a co-op or... like, I don't mean a commune, a cult. I just mean like a community that is like... because I think it's so nice. And even with our friends, like now a bunch of them are starting to have their families and a bunch live near. And I'm like, how do we work together? We're
like,
all
we
friends.
We might as well just like live in
help
one
each
home.
Other.
Okay.
We don't have to live in one home.
Listen to this. It's about the
polyamory and queering of physical space and the concept of architecture being designed as a nuclear home for a non-polyamorous family.
So which side are you on now?
No, it's me. I'm an absolute flip-flopper. I've actually been thinking in my head about how I'm like, screw straight people. They're so repressed, but at the same, it's all
the bro.
But at the same times, whenever like there's
you
like a bunch
a
of no polyamorous people together, I'm like, okay, y'all need to relax because obviously straight people have a lot going on for them too. Like I don't know, I just don't know where I am ever. But
you're Goldilocks.
Yeah,
you just you are perfect.
No, I don't. I think that whenever someone is claiming that their thing is good, I'm always questioning.
That's
it.
Good to be skeptical.
But then it just leaves me questioning everything and having a pointless existence. No, but okay. So there's queer architecture, and part of it is like, I thought it was interesting. It's like homes are designed for nuclear families. There's usually like the master bedroom with like the bed for two people and then the like two bedrooms for the kids. And it's like,
what would be a queer design?
I was trying to look it up because it was like an annoying article where it was like, all they do is be like, we need a queer spaces. And it's like, give an example, hon. And they weren't. And then I just got fed up. It was like a room with like a double king size bed and like,
and a pride flag.
Yeah. Like a pride flag. And like, it was just so funny, but it made me think, okay, that is interesting. Like
Megami, protect queer art.
Yeah, exactly. Protect queer art. Like a polycule is probably like, we need more. It's like, no, you just need like a mansion, I guess. But like, I thought it was interesting that there are like queer people who are thinking about the design of space.
That's so interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Nuclear.
I'd love to learn more about, yeah, how, what those are, things that like we can't see because we're just so ingrained with the way our world is structured. But I'd love to know it means to queer.
Yeah, it was like an annoying article that only asked questions like, what are the implications of non-monogamy on the conception, arrangement, and shaping of domestic interiors? It's like, answer that. You're writing the article. It was a cool question, but sometimes it's like, triangle room with doors on either side? Because like, that's fun. Hmm. Okay, then another thing is that in Ontario, up to 6 parents can be with consent named on the birth certificate of a kid.
Whoa.
So wait, it's kind of like off. Yeah.
As their actual parents.
Yeah. And in Australia has, Jeff has.
You melt. You can't even handle that. Australians maybe did something better.
I'm like,
is that what's
about to... Australia coming in with the heat. Australia law has stuck at 2 parents.
Oh, so still bad.
But they're now like, due to like the High Court of Mason versus Parsons, HCA 212, they've left open the possibility that more than 2 parents could be recognized under the Family Law Act. So like other things in Australia, it's taking a slow time to get to the progress.
I would literally marry an Australian just to get an Australian Survivor.
Well, why don't we call in if you're interested in being in a thruple with us in Toronto and are Australian so that...
Well, I might have to leave you if they're only allowed to.
No. There's a Family Law Act. They just said.
We don't need a kid, actually. I'm sure we can all
No, and you guys can do your Family Law Act. Actually, no. I think we could... Know what we're going to do?
I'm desperate. I will actually marry an Australian.
Also...
It's the best version of Survivor that ever existed.
And that will be your ability to get on, is that we will be the first thruple legally bound in Australia.
And we'll actually change the course
like,
of history.
So, like when they're
and then
like,
I'll be on the show. Being
when they're like, oh my God, you're Mitch. Because like you know, you're like, you've tried all the things and it's not working. So, but you've never tried the fact that you're the first legal thruple in Australia. That will be your story.
That'll get me.
And there'll be like a cut to like me and said person like chopping up like a zucchini while you're like boiling pasta. And everyone will be like, oh my God, they're so progressive.
Wow, it works.
So then this is another thing. In 2017, Ian Jenkins, Alan Mayfield, and Jeremy Hodges made history when they became the first family in California to list 3 fathers on a birth certificate. Hmm. Gay thruple. And it showed, like, it was just explaining, like, how they did it. And then it's been working so far. And the children were utterly unfazed by their family structure. As the thruple's daughter, Piper, proudly told a classmate, you have 2 parents? I have 3. Mic drop! So I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, it's happening. Like, people
but
are
sometimes
raising
Piper
kids.
More is not better than less, you know? Actually, I have a full video called Why Subtraction is Better Than Addition.
Yeah, and like 3 gay men in a home, Piper, plug your ears. There's going to be a lot of chatting. New Ariana Grande album drops. There's going to be screaming. Okay, so yeah, I guess Thruple Slay, we are auditioning.
Yeah, send in your resume, send in your voice note, and
polyamorous,
especially if you're Australian, you win.
Yeah,
so even actually, you can also be a female from Australia, and I'll marry you.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing is that, like,
everyone in Australia hates me because I like talk shit about them all the time. So this
so it can just be me though. Like we don't need Greg to be part of the picture.
It sounds like you just want to kind of date anyone alone from Australia to get on Australian Survivor.
Not date, marry.
Marry,
I need citizenship.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I've looked into this. You either have to be like living there for like 5 years to get one of those like whatever permit things.
It's going to be crazy when you drag me to Australia after I've dragged them to hell to live for 5 years just so you can go on the show.
And the show will probably be canceled by then.
Sad. But polyamorous relationships have a lot of positive to them.
I think that's like people can, especially if you're coming from being in one, like can feel proud about that.
And if I've offended you, which I likely have, asapscience.com/chat. I'm open to hearing like truly being dragged through all hell.
Okay, let's take a break and then we'll come back for our Would You Learn This Week's. Yeah?
Slurp.
All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
There's been lots of chatter going on around about microplastics in our water. All these studies are finding microplastics in our bodies everywhere, in babies.
They're shrinking our dicks.
Like obviously we know microplastics are everywhere, and we don't quite yet know exactly what they're doing to our health, but obviously we know they're there and they're probably having some kind of impact. But a cool recent study came out that found a simple solution when it comes to water and microplastics in our water. Because even from the tap, like people are getting microplastics coming out of their taps without realizing it. The solution was an age-old solution of boiling your water. So boiling water was able to remove up to 90% of the microplastics.
No one's going to do that.
Well, I mean, if you're on Survivor, you certainly aren't getting your microplastics in you.
Oh, my God. But, like, it's like that. I really, like, okay, that's interesting.
Well, it's like interesting that that's the thing that humans have had to do for literally like 100,000 years.
It always goes back to that. Hunter-gatherers.
The study was like, yeah, there are still some communities that do this, but most do not. So, I mean, in my mind, I was like, is there a way for like city infrastructure to make sure? And maybe they already do in places
like
Toronto.
Think about all that energy.
But if you, okay, if and when we realize we're dying or like having crazy diseases from microplastics, again, this is all just
there's conjecture. A solution there. No, that's true. I see the science is like this will help when it gets to the point that we might need to do this.
Well, it could already be at that point. We just actually don't know what the impact is on our bodies long term or on society. Like if we're seeing like, I know we've done some studies that like link infertility rates to microplastics and things like that. So it's like, okay, that might be a really big problem.
Children of men becomes real. We got to boil because, the water.
Exactly. The one interesting fact was, this boiling technique was much more effective with hard water. So hard water is when it's like a lot more minerals.
Ever been to Guelph?
Yeah, that's Ontario. Where I grew up. And our glasses and stuff like get like lots of like white tinges on them. It's similar. Like if you boil water in a kettle and you notice it gets that like kind of crusty calcium stuff in it, that's because you have hard water. And that's calcium carbonate that's getting formed. The nice thing is it basically traps, it forms around the microplastics. Like it's like a spot for the calcium carbonate to form. And basically that like captures the microplastics and then you don't drink that. When you boil water, so that's why kettles end up having so much of that because the heat of the water actually changes.
So wait, is microplastics, is it better to have hard water or not?
In this case, it was saying it was boiling hard water was more effective than boiling soft water at removing microplastics. So it still worked. It was like
hard
40.
Water is lots of like minerals and stuff. I always liked the Guelph water.
Yeah.
But then your family has like a water softener because they don't like it.
I guess. Yeah. Some people find it tastes funny. Some people find it affects their skin differently. Yeah. Like, or it affects dishes and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's very common. I don't know if they still do, but my parents, when we were younger, had like a water softener.
Yeah, I'm so curious about that.
I have no idea what that is.
It seems kind of scary to like play with your water source.
I'm sure it's just a filter that sucks, like traps the minerals.
Yeah.
Like you're probably just passing water through a filter.
I hope it's a filter, not like
some like additive. Chemical. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
I am kind of like, I don't know why I'm not scared of that yet, but I'm not.
Of microplastics? I think about it every day.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You think about microplastics every day? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Like recently I'm like, yeah, I'm choosing to drink only out of glass things now. And I think about it. Even when I put our like leftovers in plastic Tupperware, I'm like,
we have. The whole time we were in Mexico, you're drinking out of a plastic water bottle sitting on the beach in the sun.
Well, I didn't have a choice because I didn't bring my metal water bottle. And I felt weird about that, but okay, I'm obviously not that crazy about it because I was like,
this is why we need to be definitely. In a thruple because someone can take care of our water bottles.
Yeah.
Another great reason for a thruple. That's really fair. That's really going to turn someone on. Okay. So my study is about the aesthetic bias of plants, which I thought was.
Aesthetic bias of plants.
Okay. Wow. No. It's about how even the smartest humans, aka scientists, are still so dumb and have aesthetic bias toward plants. So it looked at.
Oh, I do for sure.
Yeah. 280 studies between 1975 and 2020 in a specific region of the Alps and found that scientists would focus on studying plant species that flowered beautifully, had blue flowers, red, like the highest studied were blue. Then it was white, red, and pink. And also the longer the stem and the more epic the flower, the more it was studied, even though the rare, endangered, and native species were like green and brown and were the ones that needed to be studied.
And were getting overlooked because they're not as like beautiful.
So it's like the bias was swaying conservation efforts in favor of attractive plants and less interest in the less charming yet more endangered and native and healthy for the environment.
Like potentially even more important.
Isn't that so sad? It's like... It makes you be like, love the ugly and love the simple. Remember that song?
No. Okay. That's some weird ass church thing you're singing.
That is fully made up. Imagine I went to church and they were like, love the ugly and love the simple.
Wouldn't be surprising.
I mean, that's actually a really important message. That's why
this is the song we sang in church. Go ahead and hate your neighbor.
What?
Go ahead and cheat your friend. Do it in the name of heaven.
What are you talking about?
You can justify it in the end.
What are you talking? No, Mitch.
There won't be any trumpets blowing come that judgment day on the bloody morning after one tin soldier rides away. Is that a joke?
That's
no, it's about like being you're gonna be judged at the end of it. So if you want to cheat your neighbor, you want to cheat your friend.
What? But it sounded like it was saying to cheat your neighbor and cheat your friend.
No, it's saying go ahead, do it in the name of heaven, and you'll be judged.
Oh, it's
at the
literally
end.
Like a sassy song.
Yeah, it's being like
go ahead.
Well, it's saying if you want to go ahead and use your religion as like a tool to oppress or do bad things.
You sang that at a Catholic church? That sounded like a Carrie Underwood song.
I know. In that moment, I was like, "Is this a church song?" What? I'm gonna look that up. Well,
it was
you
called
keep
like
talking
one
about flowers.
Okay. Well, no, it was more just being like ugly. Not even ugly. Plain green brown plants are the plants that we sometimes need to look at and we need to love. And I just think that has nothing to do with your Christian song, but I do think it's a lesson for all of us that everything is beautiful, even if
I agree. And I try not to have that bias, especially when I listen to Alan Watts, because he's always talking about like, you know, you don't like judge clouds. You just like look at them. All clouds are interesting. All clouds are beautiful. And like plants, you don't like judge them. But sometimes I'm like, I do think that plant's prettier, especially when I'm in our house. I'm like, I want the plant to look nice.
Also, yeah, sometimes I notice like, because I have tried to rewild our garden and bring only native species in. And sometimes I'm like, look at this plant. And you'll be like, that's so ugly. I like that plant. And I'll be like, that's the one I'm actually pulling out because it's like a horrible plant, like from Japan that's taking over all of our parks. I will say that like not every plant is equal because there's evil garlic mustard all over
but
our
parks. Evil's relative. That plant's not evil. It just doesn't know when it's in this place where it can thrive and hurt other plants, but that's okay, not true. Its fault.
It was
just like
humans'
all the,
faults because we brought it on
like,
our goddamn
certain birds.
Boots.
You know, it's like sad that they're like, we got to get rid of the pigeons.
I know.
Like, it's not their fault.
It's not their fault and they are beautiful beings, but there is also, I think, a
for me, a deeper sadness in the native plants being trampled to death by garlic mustard. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that is
like,
obviously there is obvious,
and like garlic mustard is physically awful. It like hurts like every time
you can eat it.
Yeah, you can eat it.
All right, so like we should all just be doing that.
And all that, like all the like freaking like pipe weeds and like the swamps that if you try and get rid of them, it just helps them seed more, and they're just like evil, and there's like no way to get rid of them. And then they just like kill species, like native species, and kill native plants. Like that feels bad. Like it does feel like those.
Well, obviously it's bad, but the plant doesn't know.
No, I know the plant doesn't.
You can't
know.
Judge the plant for what it doesn't know. And it's a really nice metaphor, actually. Yeah.
But plants sometimes nature
know.
Is just
humans
so
don't know either.
Humans
and we are,
definitely don't know.
We're just nature. I did a little Google on my song. It's definitely not a religious song, although I swear we sang it at my absolutely progressive Catholic school growing up. It's a 1960s counterculture era anti-war song.
Whoa.
It's Canadian. It has been sung by many artists over and charted in the United States and Canada.
Okay, your school's weird.
I like don't understand
also,
why were you singing this in church?
In high school. You said you sang it at school, not church.
I think it's
at school.
Well, I went to a Catholic school, so we would have church at school.
What?
We'd go to the gym and have church.
This is why the Catholic school system needs to be absolutely abolished. When were you doing that? Like during when you should have been learning math?
Probably, yeah. We would like once a month or something, the whole school would like go to the gymnasium, sit on the floor, and we'd like have a mass.
Okay, I have it in our notes, and it's like that we need to do an episode on Catholic schools. But I think that's like so deep and dark that maybe we're not the right podcast. But it's
and
just
on
like,
some days
it is you, sick.
Some days you get, to skip class because you'd have to go confess
Pray.
Your sins to the priest. And you'd be given like a script, and I'd be stressed all day being like, I have to make up my sins. Like, I yelled at my
sister. This is why all the Catholic schools kids go to university and they're far behind because it's like they're stressing not about their psychology exam.
No,
they're stressing about their goddamn telling the priest that they jerked off and thought about a man.
Please, you went to university and had to take some course you didn't do in high school.
No, that's because when I took grade 12 physics, my physics teacher told my mom that I had Tourette's because I talked too much and kicked me out of physics, so I had to do it for university, which is a different type of issue. But
okay.
And to that man, wherever you are, nothing wrong with having Tourette's, but I don't have Tourette's. I'm just a gay guy who likes to talk, and your class was boring.
And now wants to be in a throuple. Anyway, poor flowers that are treated.
Yeah, it's
not good.
And yeah.
Anything else fun going on that we want to talk about?
No, I honestly think we probably need to turn this off. I'm like worried that I've said enough things to like absolutely just be like,
this is all going to come back to bite us one day for sure.
For sure. You might not ever hear from us again if we were canceled at some point throughout this. Anyway.
But we love you all. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Oh, wait, pause. What? Are we going to do it on something specific next week and get some call-ins? Like, do you want to commit to something or no?
Oh my God, Mitch, What the hell?
Okay, no, we don't have to do that.
Okay, well, let me go to my upcoming.
I just was like so surprised when we did that. We actually got so many messages from people. I also want to say thank
Kegels.
You all. Hold on. Okay. Thank you all so much for sending them in. Obviously, we only choose a couple each time, and we appreciate everybody sending their voice notes in. It's so fun to hear from you.
Okay, these are some things that are going to come up down the pipeline on this podcast. Kegels, clenching your vag hole dick.
Yeah, okay. We're going to have to learn what that is.
MSG.
Okay. Communes/co-ops. I'd still love to.
Communes.
Yeah.
Hearing aids. I really want to do one about hearing aids because
I'm going to need them.
And foreskin restoration.
Okay. All right. So there's a couple topics. If you have any attachment to any of those, no pun intended for the foreskin one.
I also want to do Catholic school versus public school.
Wow, that will be spicy.
And I hope it brings legislation into Ontario and Canada where we no longer publicly fund Catholic schools.
Okay, bury the lead. They don't even need to listen to the pod now.
Okay.
That's some ideas. If you have thoughts about them, feel free to asapscience.com/chat. Send us a voice note. It's so fun to hear from you. Otherwise, like, thanks for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Whoa.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.